So yesterday, I got to go, several of us here actually, got to go to the graduation at Greencastle Antrim. Congratulations to all the seniors out there and seniors everywhere. And their parents. Yes, yes. So I went out there, and I think that might be the first graduation I've been to since mine. Maybe. Yeah. So I wasn't real sure. I wasn't real sure what did you say, did I graduate? Is that no? Okay. Yeah, I did. So I wasn't real sure what to expect. I knew it was 10 to 12. Of course, I thought it was at 1. Luckily, my wife told me, no, it's 10 to 12. So I wasn't sure what to expect. Went out, and it was beautiful. I mean, they did it on the football field. It was all set up very nice. A lot of people. I'd say, what do you think, 1,000 people? I'd say at least 1,000 people there. So one thing, I went, and I was disappointed. But I wasn't surprised. So the one thing I was disappointed in is they couldn't do a prayer officially. They couldn't do a prayer for separation church and state. They're trying to follow laws. So they couldn't do a prayer. And I was like, you know, I read it on the, it was on the bottom of the program. And, you know, I was just kind of like, man. So, oh, that's not for me. So the student president, I think, was the first one to speak, wasn't he? Yeah, so the student president gets up, you know, and he starts talking, and he prays. Because they can't tell students they're not allowed to pray. Yes, praise the Lord. It was awesome. I mean, that part, like, I was disappointed they couldn't pray, and then he gets up and does that, and I thought, you know what, good for that kid, for being able to stand up and do that in front of at least 1,000 people. Because I'm sure he knew that you know, they weren't allowed to officially have it. The school couldn't put on the prayer. And he did that, so I was really happy to see that. What they did at 200 and how many people graduated? 230 people. One person I noticed is going into ministry out of that 230. A lot of engineers. No truck drivers, though. No truck drivers. I was like, man, how do you get stuff places? So I thought that was a little weird. But that one person going to ministry, I thought, out of 230, I thought, man, that just kind of seems like the direction our country's going. So the thing I was most disappointed in was the speech that the guest speaker gave. Now, I know he's a great man. I mean, it took, what, 5 minutes to read his biography? I mean, wow. I mean, he was a 4-star admiral, right, in the Navy. He worked, I mean, he's done all this stuff. His name, I can't remember his name, something Rogers. Michael Rogers, look him up. I mean, he's no doubt done a lot for this country, for our security, our safety. So he got up, and here's what disappointed me, but didn't surprise me. He said to the students, and everybody there heard it, so he was basically speaking to everybody. He said, remember, there is no path. He said, there is no path. Make your own path. And I'll tell you, the guy was a great speaker. I was sitting there listening to him, and as he's talking, I'm thinking, man, that sounds really, really good. That sounds really intriguing. You know? I'll just blaze my own path. The problem is, it's not right. It's like saying the greatest commandment is now to follow your heart. And the second's like it. Do what you want. I mean, that's basically what he was saying. There's no right path. There's no correct path. So just make your own. And I'm here to tell you that that's just not right. And I wish I could tell all those people that. You know, because those kids, I'm sure they're listening to this guy, seeing his success. You know, he's there for a reason because he's done all these things. He has these accomplishments. And they're listening to this guy, and that's what he tells them. And that's what the schools are telling them. That's what society's telling them. We're all telling them the same thing. And it's not right. There is a path. Jesus said it in Matthew 7, that there's a path. It's a narrow path. The highway to hell, is how it puts it in my translation, is wide and broad. He said, but there is a narrow path that leads to eternal life. There is a correct path. Proverbs 14:2 tells us the right thing as well. I'm going to turn to it. Proverbs 14:2 Those who follow the right path, so there is a right path, fear the Lord. So in order to be on that right path, you have to fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise Him. Any other path than the one that God has set out before us is the wrong path. So I was disappointed in what he had to say. But I wasn't surprised. These are the things that we're bombarded with, the things that our students, our kids are bombarded with. But we have to stand up sometimes and call it out and say, look, that's just not right. So anybody that was there, you too, I don't know if there's anybody else, Susan, Sean, listen, that wasn't right. It wasn't right. So that leads us into what we talked about last week, society's greatest commandment, which we saw yesterday. Follow your heart. Just do you. Just do whatever you want. I mean, we've taken prayer, you know, out of schools, out of graduation ceremonies. We're taking God out of everything. So basically what we're saying is, well, there's no more God. There's no more standard. So just do what you want. Just choose whichever path you want, and that one you choose is good. Follow your hearts. And so what we learned last week is that our hearts, if we follow them, there's two things that our hearts are. They are deceitful. They're deceitful. We read about that in Jeremiah 17:9. They're deceitful. So in other words, our hearts will cause us to seek out what is comfortable and resist what is uncomfortable. I mean, how many people have had something that they had to do, and they're all stressed out about it, but they had to do it, and so finally they get to the point where they're like, you know what, I'm just not going to do it. And then what they say is, and after I decided not to do that, I just had such a peace. I just felt a burden lifted. Yeah, because you weren't stressed out a little bit. You know, because you didn't have to make that appointment. Your heart was telling you, well, I'll feel a lot better if I don't have this obligation, so I'm just not going to do it. That's what our heart tells us. It deceits us. It's deceitful. Deceives us, is what I should have said. The second thing it does is it defiles us. We read about that in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. And basically, our heart defiling us means it separates us from God. It separates us from God. It causes us to be unclean, is what defiled means. Causing us to be, and when we're unclean, that separates us from God. So that's what we talked about last week. If we choose to follow our hearts, that's what happens to us. So it's just a great idea for us to spread that around to everybody. Especially as we take God out of more and more and more things. Now that separation that deceit and that defilement causes us also causes our heart to begin to harden. I mean, here I have heard of a hardened heart. Think about Pharaoh. I mean, God knew this, and he told Moses this. He says, Pharaoh will not do what you tell him to do. So therefore, God said, I will harden his heart. Whew. That's a big sermon. That's a big sermon. Talking about God hardening hearts? Yeah. Start researching that. Because it sounds like it, man, that might not make sense. But once you start to really read the text and discover what that means, is you'll find out God hardens the hearts of those who already have hardened hearts. And we have a tendency to harden our own hearts. And we read about that in Ephesians chapter 4. It's starting verse 17 says, with the Lord's authority I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do. Gentiles, unbelievers. Or what Gentiles were and are, okay? Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. So our tendency, as we begin to follow our hearts into deception and they defile us and we're unclean, that they will begin to harden. We harden our own hearts. And that's not good. I mean, if we have a heart so hard that we harden it, Perhaps there's a time when God will decide he's going to harden our heart. Like I said, different sermon, different time, but things to contemplate and consider. And this is what happened to David. We talked about this last week. We talked about David deciding to follow his heart, didn't we? And I mentioned at the end of service, I'm not sure I did. I know I did this service. I'm not sure I did second service. I mentioned that David was chosen to be the second king of Israel because he was a man after God's own heart, right? And he was. He remained that the whole way, you know, till he died. But there was instances where he decided to follow his heart and do what he wanted. And we read about that last week. And what happened was he became defiled. In other words, he was unclean. And he was deceived to think, well, I want Bathsheba. Doesn't matter, she's married. Whatever, I want her. So he goes and he believes that what he wants is right because he follows his heart. And we all read and we all see that that was completely not right. But his heart began to separate from God a little bit. He got a little hardened. And it led him into lying, deceit, adultery, murder. Man, because he decided to follow his heart. But all the while, remember, David is known as a man who was after God's own heart. So how do those two things work together? We have King Saul. I'll get to that later. I don't want to ruin it. And I might not get to it. We'll see what happens. But our main text last week was Mark 12, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Mark 12, verse 30. Let me read it again real quick so you know why we're talking about the heart. I'll start in 29. Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this: Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength." That's the verse that we focused on. And we focused on the heart and what it means to love God with all of our heart. And that's how we went down the path of following your heart, what the heart actually is, and how we can have a heart like David, ultimately, a heart like God's. Be people after God's own heart. Because we will end up like David. We will fail. We will be unclean before God. Our hearts will deceive us. And then we have something we have to do. David was a bad example last week, wasn't he? But man, he's a good example. He's a great example this week because of how he responded to his sin. And that's what we're going to look at. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Psalm 51. Psalms, yes. Did anybody read the Bible this week? Did you read more this week than you did last week? I don't know. I read the Bible, though. That was my challenge. I hope you did. I hope you did. I think I did. I'm in Job, in like the 20th chapter. So I read 2 Chronicles. What's after that? Nehemiah. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Yeah. So anyways, I read a bunch. And I'm halfway through Job. And I'm almost to Psalms. And I can't wait to get there because I don't read the Psalms often, especially this year because I'm reading mostly Proverbs. So I keep reading these Proverbs, right? Well, I can't talk about the heart and David without going to the Psalms, especially today, because we read in Psalm 51. What this is Psalm 51 is David's response to his sin with Bathsheba. Man, that's perfect for us to be reading this week when we talked about it last week. Now this week, we're going to read how he responded when the prophet Nathan came to him and basically said, dude, you're a sinner. You're sinning. Why are you doing this? And this is David's response. So we're going to read like 11 verses here. We'll start in verse 1. "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. Man, a lot of us here have to say that phrase to God. I recognize my rebellion. And it haunts me day and night. You know what? If you recognize your rebellion and it doesn't haunt you or convict you, pray that it does. It's a strange prayer to pray, isn't it? Pray that it does. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. David recognizes who God is and what he can do. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. We're going to stop there. Man, that's a mouthful. I mean, you can read those words and you can feel David and his remorse. And you can tell that he really understands who God is and how God operates. I mean, if he's defiled and unclean, he should be making sacrifices to God. That's how you take care of that. But David really understands God. Matter of fact, go down to verse 16. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart. The law says you have to sacrifice these offerings. You have to do these things to become clean and undefiled. Right? But that's the problem with Israel. They didn't get God's heart. David did. That's why God said David is a man after my own heart. Because he gets the fact that he sinned against God. And he needs to beg for forgiveness. And God will give it. Interesting thing about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. This is something that I've pondered for a few years, because I know that when we're, you know, saved, when we accept Christ after Pentecost, you know, every believer that accepts Christ gets the Holy Spirit residing within them. So that makes me think, okay, what about before Pentecost? You ever thought about that? What about that? What about in the Old Testament? And so I haven't studied it a lot, but I've read verses, I've read things and books, and what I, so far where I'm at with this, is it seems to me, and I got this from other people and study myself, seems to me the Holy Spirit can reside within people, even in the Old Testament. But most of the time, it's for a specific purpose. And then the Holy Spirit leaves. I think of whenever the ark was being made, the Ark of the Covenant, not Noah's Ark, the Ark of the Covenant was made, whenever the tabernacle was to be built, and it says that God's Spirit entered these people so they would have the ability to perform these things. Then after they were done, the Spirit left. Well, David was anointed when he was like 16. He had the Spirit. The Spirit was given to him. And he prays right here, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. David still had the Holy Spirit in him. And I believe from my study, I believe from the things that people a lot smarter than me say, the Holy Spirit never left David. I think that's very interesting. He recognizes that he has that Spirit. And he says, God, don't take your Spirit from me. Because he recognized that he messed up. And he prays for a clean heart. He says, create in me a clean heart. Purify my heart. Make something there that's not there now, because his heart has become hard and he's sinned against God. He says, now create in me a pure heart. Something that's clean. And this is what will cleanse David. This prayer and God giving him that renewal of heart. And that's what we have to do. I mean, I think there's those of us sitting here today who, first off, may have never accepted Christ. I don't know. But I think for most of us, we've probably accepted Christ, but we've experienced that time like David where we've followed our hearts or we've done something that has separated us from God, and there's been a little bit of our hearts that have been hardened. And what we need to do is we need to ask God, we need to pray, God, renew my heart. Create in me a clean heart so that I can get rid of the separation that I've created and I can be closer to you. Just like David said here. Now, the cool thing about Pentecost and Jesus sending us the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. And the implication there is if God gave the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament to people to do specific things and then took it away, and he gives it to us, never takes it away, I think that means that God has specific things for us to do the whole time we're here. The whole time we're on this earth. Make disciples, right? Preach the word, spread the gospel. There's a lot of things that God has for us to do, and we need to keep that in mind as we kind of experience this separation from God. And we ask Him to cleanse our heart, ask Him to purify our hearts. And my question is that even possible? I mean, David asked for it. Does God do it? By the way, we're going to be all over the place in the Bible. I even put on our lead sheets, we usually put the scripture reference. I just put the Bible. So, Mikey said he would just put the table of contents up on the screen. Yeah. So we're going to be all over the place. So listen, we're going to turn to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. I am loving the Old Testament, by the way. I don't understand half of it, but I'm loving it. The reason I struggle with understanding the Old Testament is because I've been told so many things about God, who God is, how His love works. And then I discover in the Old Testament who God is, how His love works. And it seems to contradict with what I've been told at points. So it's really cool to be reading these things again with a fresh perspective. All right, Ezekiel 36. The question on the table is, can God cleanse our heart? Can He give us a new heart? Can He replace our heart? Ezekiel 36, starting in verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Now, I have an asterisk there. Could all be said a heart of flesh. Verse 27, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. Oh, can God give us a new heart? Yeah, He'll give us a new heart. He even tells us He'll give us a new heart. And I will give you a new heart and I will put a new spirit in you. I will not only give you a new heart, I will give you my Holy Spirit so that you have the ability to do the things that I say. Follow my commands. That's amazing. Do we know when that happens? It's when we accept Christ. When we're converted. When we decide, you know what, God? You did send Christ for me. And God says, winner, winner, winner. He says, that's right. And then He gives us a new heart and His Spirit to reside in us. It's interesting in this. If you look, He says, and I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit, lowercase spirit, in you. Because the fact is, we have spirits within us. Maybe we have a demonic spirit. Maybe we just have a selfish spirit. Whatever it is. He says, I'll give you a new lowercase spirit. But then you go down in verse 27, and I will put in you an uppercase S spirit, the Holy Spirit. Yes, along with that new heart. A heart made of flesh. Get rid of the stony, hard heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Why do we need a heart of flesh? So that God can mold it so that our hearts are pliable, malleable, I think is a good word. They can be shaped by God. And he says, listen, when you understand what I've done for you and you accept it, and you follow me in my ways, you follow my son, I will give you this heart that I can mold and shape to line up with God's heart. Man, I think that is good news, isn't it? Man, that is the good news. So naturally, the question that we're going to have after God gives us this new heart, a heart that now He has given us that can be molded into what He wants, how He wants us to react. The question is raised, and thank you to Fred, who posed this question to our small group this week. I posed this question to the student ministry back in March and just kind of left it hanging. And I said, if God gives us this heart that's from Him that can be molded and shaped to follow His ways, can we then follow our hearts? I mean, that's an interesting question. And I'm going to tell you the answer. I mean, I really do think that is a great question to consider. And if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, man, I don't know, then you're in the right spot. Like, we need to be considering these things to really understand God. Here's the answer. No, we can't. What? But it's a heart that God gave me, that He's shaping. Yeah, it's a heart that can be molded, right? How many people experience, once they accept Christ, they experience a spiritual high where they're all in, man. They are on it. They're reading the Bible in like 5 days. They're doing all the Bible studies, listening to Christian radio. Man, you've been doing it for like 10 years. No, but they do all these things. And then like 3 months down the line, they stop listening to Christian radio. They cut back on reading the Bible. They don't have time to attend that Bible study. And then they start to kind of fall off just a little bit. Listen, that's the Christian life. Okay? That heart that God gave us that can be molded. If God isn't molding it, guess what? Something else will. Something else will shape our hearts. And when we're made into a new creation, make no mistake, we still have our old nature. Fighting our new nature, our new heart. They are in constant battle. And we still can't trust, follow our hearts. We need to trust and follow God in His Word. The second part of that is, listen, we can't follow our hearts because we're still human. We're not perfect. Okay? That was only saved for Jesus. You know? We're not going to be perfect. Satan is still real. He will still tempt us. He will still dress up in sheep's clothing and try to attack. Satan is still real. You know, there's a story about somebody getting a new heart or a changed heart. I talked to Fred about this yesterday. In the Bible, I thought, this is it. This is the clincher. Like, this is the reason we can't follow hearts even after God replaces it. And it's King Saul, first king of Israel, King Saul. And we read about it in 1 Samuel. We read about him, and we read the text, and it says that basically Samuel came to him and said, hey, you're going to be king. I'm going to anoint you as king. And Saul's like, no way. And Saul goes to leave, and it says that God gave him, in my translation, says a new heart. In every other translation, it says a changed heart. Either way, God changed his heart. He turns around, and at that moment, he's like, I'm in. Because God did something different with his heart. He's like, I got this. I'm all in. And then he began to prophesy. And everybody's like, what is Saul doing? How does he have this ability? Well, because God enabled him, gave him a new heart, or changed heart, and his spirit. Gave him his spirit. And then Saul was able to do all these things. And I read this, I thought about this, and I read this in something I was researching this week, and they left it at that as the reason why we need a new heart. Listen, you got to recognize the rest of that story. King Saul failed. Even after God replaced his heart or changed his heart to follow him, he failed. He decided he wasn't going to follow God. He decided that I can't wait for Samuel to get here to do this sacrifice. I'm worried that the Philistines, they're going to come and they're going to wipe us out, so I'm going to do it myself. That wasn't what God told him to do. Samuel was to offer this sacrifice, and Saul's like, I got this because the Philistines are going to come. He didn't trust God. He followed his heart and did what he thought he should do. And then God told him, hey, totally wipe out the Amalekites. Wipe them off the face of the earth. And he went and he did it, so he thinks. But he left King Agag live. King. And he kept the best of their livestock so he could sacrifice them to God. But guess what? That's not what God said to do. He said, kill everything. King, women, children, livestock, whatever's there, annihilate it. And Saul thought, he's like, yeah, I did it. And Samuel's like, well, then why do I hear the sheep back here? And he's like, well, the men convinced me. He feared man instead of God. And guess what happened? God took his spirit from Saul. He said, I have given Israel to another. And that another is King David, a man after God's own heart. So listen, even after we get that new heart, that newness, that new perspective and outlook and desires, we still can't trust our hearts. Now what we need to do, turn to Psalm 37. We learned a lot from David this week. Psalm 37, this is crucial if we're talking about our hearts and learning about our heart. This is absolutely crucial that we understand this. Psalm 37, verse 4. Let's start in verse 1. What the heck? Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong, for like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. Did you catch that, verse 4? Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires. Who wants a new boat? I mean, I feel like that's kind of, I have enough boats. I feel like that's like a heart's desire of mine. I'd like to have a new boat again, right? I mean, that's not what that means at all, okay? I want to make sure we understand what this verse is saying. What this verse means is, if we delight in the Lord, which we're going to discover what that means in a minute, if we delight in God, in the Lord, in Yahweh, He will align our heart with His heart. That, then our desires will be His desires. Then guess what? You still can't follow your heart. Okay? But, if everything is lined up with God, your heart is His heart, and your heart's not going to lead you astray. Because what you're doing, you're not following your heart, you're following God's heart. And the way you're doing that is by delighting in the Lord. Boy, David had a ton to say about that. Matter of fact, he said a lot of it in the longest chapter in the Bible. Does anybody know what that is? Psalm 19. Do you know the shortest? Psalm 117. How about that? Huh? Yeah. All right, so let's turn to what? Let's figure out what we do if we want to delight in the Lord so that our hearts can line up with God's heart. Our desires can line up with God's desires. We're going to turn to Psalm 119. Don't worry, we're not going to read the whole thing. Oh my goodness, yeah, we'd be here all day. I'm a slow reader. I've never dug into the Psalms, you know. Like, I've read them, but I've never really studied them and really tried to understand that. Like I said, reading the Old Testament, just reading about David recently, and then reading these Psalms, man, it had a whole fresh perspective on David and why he's writing these in his heart, okay? So here's what I'm going to do. The question now is, how do we delight in the Lord so that everything is aligned, so that our hearts won't lead us astray, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to cherry pick a bunch of verses. I'm probably not going to read them all because I got a lot of green verses, which means I'm going to use them in the sermon. So I got a lot of them. So I'm just going to read some of them, and then we're going to discover what this means and David's perspective on delighting in the Lord. Okay? Don't try to follow along. You can for like two verses. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all their hearts. Then I will not be ashamed. Now remember, I'm cherry picking. I'm not going in order. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. Ooh, we're so good at comparing our life to other people's lives. Bill's life. Ken's life. Brandon's life. I got you all beat. No. Yeah. I mean, we're really good at that, right? But have you ever compared your life to God's commands? Oh, have you ever compared your life to Scripture? As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. Man, is this good stuff or what? David says, I'm going to appreciate you and show you that by living the way you tell me to live. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have rejoiced in your laws as much as in riches. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. I will delight in your decrees and not forget your word. Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your instructions. I am always overwhelmed with a desire for your regulations. Weird, David. Your laws please me. They give me wise advice. Help me understand the meaning of your commandments, and I will meditate on your wonderful deeds. I weep with sorrow. Encourage me by your word. I will put them into practice with all my heart. How I delight in your commands. How I love them. I honor and love your commands. I meditate on your decrees with all my heart. I want your blessings. Your instructions are more valuable to me than millions in gold and silver. Man, I want to keep going. I feel you guys are getting annoyed. Your promises have been thoroughly tested. That is why I love them so much. Man, what's David talking about here? He's talking about God's rules and His regulations and His commands. He's talking about God's words. He's talking about God's word. Now, David didn't have this. But you know what he did had? Did had? Man, I read this and I've shared this with people too. So God made a rule, a command, gave it to Moses, and he said, basically what he says, one day Israel's going to want a king. Okay? He said, the king of Israel, in front of the Levites, which was like the priests, okay? The priestly tribe was the Levite tribe. In front of the priests, he is to write down the law of Moses on a scroll. The king is now. Write it down on a scroll, roll it up, and keep it with him at all times. And every day, he is to read from that scroll. He is to read God's commands. I have a scripture reference here in case you want to read about that. Deuteronomy 17:14-20 is where you can read about that. The king of Israel is to have God's commands on him at all times and read from it every single day. The leader of God's people is to read his commands every day. How's that translate to now? Right here. If you're a leader in any way, shape, or form of God's people, which most of us in this room are, you're to read this every single day. And guess what? You don't have to write it on a scroll, because we have it in a cell phone. And you have it on you all the time. I just actually took mine out because it annoys me when I'm preaching to have my cell phone in my pocket. But most of you probably have a cell phone on you right now, so you have God's commands and His Word in your pocket. And then when you read that Deuteronomy, those Deuteronomy verses, He'll say why the king is to do that, so he doesn't become prideful, so he doesn't forget God's commands, so they're written on his heart. And you can tell that David did that, because God's commands, His Word, has really impacted him, affected him, that he loves God's commands. I don't know that I can say I love God's commands. I mean, I guess maybe I do. You know, I delight in reading your scripture every day. Well, that's happening more and more. The more I read, the more I want to read. And I hope you experience that too. But I mean, we read here in all Psalm 119, probably all throughout the Psalms, about how David delights in the Lord because he's reading His Word. He knows His Word. If we are to delight in the Lord and our heart is to line up with His heart, our desire with His desire, our will with His will, we have to be reading this Word. I know I'm a broken record. No, I don't care. You figure out that I'm preaching and you're like, I don't want to hear him talking about reading the book again. Don't come. I want you to be here. But I'm going to tell you, that's what I'm going to talk about. Because, man, we have to. And then God molds our hearts. And we don't let these other things in society mold them. Now, I had a list of five things that our hearts, we are to do with our hearts. Not follow them, but a list. That's why I left a blank at the top of the bulletin. I don't even know if it's in there. So you can fill it in. Well, if you want to fill it in, I'm just going to give you the one. The main one that we're going to wrap up with here. It's Proverbs 4:23. You can go ahead and turn to that. I'm going to tell you what we need to do with our hearts. We need to guard them. You need to guard your heart. Don't follow your heart. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." Your heart determines the path you take. And when you struggle with guarding your heart, I believe that's why I'm here. That's why Walt's here. That's why we're to be in this position. We're to help you guard your heart. And I wish I could help all those people at that graduation yesterday guard their hearts. Because the majority of them think, all I have to do is follow my heart. You know what? And they will follow their heart. And what's going to happen? It will determine the course of their life if they follow their heart. No, what we need to do is guard our hearts. There is a right path. There is a right path. And we need to guard against Satan. We need to guard against people who tell us, no, it's not. Don't worry about a right path. Blaze your own path. Our hearts will absolutely determine the course of our life. And if we delight in the Lord and we read His Word and it sinks into our hearts and His Word molds us, then the path that we will be taken on is the right path. It leads to life. I'm going to read one more verse. Proverbs 14:12. There is a path before each person that seems right. but it ends in death. That's the word of God right there. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. Guard your hearts. No matter who they are, if somebody gets up and says, just do you. Just follow your heart. Blaze your own path. Remember God's word. Because if you do that, if you follow your own path, His word says it ends in death. I put this in a math equation for the youth. There's no youth in here, is there? Okay, Court, where's Court? Oh, you might know this. If not, hopefully a leader will. And here's the equation I gave the students. I said, your path minus God's plan equals what? Any leader? What? Death. Your path minus God's plan equals death. Don't follow your hearts. Delight in the Lord. And that's what we're going to do right now. I have to raise my hand because I don't have a communion packet. We're going to delight in the Lord right now by doing something He told us to do, by remembering and reflecting on what Christ did for us. If you need a communion packet, go ahead and raise your hand. Thank you. As we prepare to take communion, I want you to think about your heart. I want you to think about if you follow your heart. I want you to think about if you have a hard heart. Just keep that thought in your mind. And as we take communion, reflect on what God did for us through Christ. Gave us the ability to have our hearts lined up with His. Is that something that you need to do? Maybe. I think all of us could use a little bit of realignment. And on the night Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread, He broke it, and He said, this is my body given for you. Take and eat. Come on. And then He took the cup and He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Take and drink. Let's pray. God, as we partake in communion, I pray that we would genuinely, truly remember what it is You've done for us. God, You've given Your body. Lord, Your word says that blood has the life in it, and Your blood has our life in it. And God, we thank You for the ability to be here today, to be able to reflect on what You've done and delight in what You've told us to do, delight in Your commands. God, I pray that You would create within us a new heart so that we can more effectively follow You. In Jesus' name.